Your Bible this morning to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 5, if you would. I mentioned to you there's new sword of the Lord's back there on the table in the foyer. I didn't tell you. Be sure to pick one of them up, all right? They're there for you. Pick them up, take them home, read them. Be a blessing to you, be a help to you, and I encourage you to do that. Last week, my wife and I weren't here. We were in Allen. I was preaching at Harvest Baptist Church there for my friend, Brother J.D. Leek. And Brother Leek needs your prayer, all right? His daughter's been on our prayer list for about 5 years now, and she still needs your prayer, okay? And I want you to pray for them. I hope you will. We're texting them this morning. Brother Leek's still not able to preach because of foot surgery he had. And so he's got another guy preaching for him, Brother Sutton. I know, Brother Sutton, you really need to pray for him, but he's preaching. Not really. Brother Sutton's a good friend, good preacher. But do pray for the Leek family, all right? They just need God to intervene on their behalf. And don't quit praying. You say, preacher, you said we've been praying for her for 5 years. Yep. And just keep doing it. There's a marvelous song I heard years ago. It's Just Keep On Praying. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Pray when the storm clouds gather o'erhead, hiding the light from you, filling your soul with sorrow and dread. Pray till the light breaks through. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. You remember that. You keep praying. You've bombarded God. You've bombarded heaven. You have a request. You have a burden. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. You keep praying, all right? That's the first message. Just a little short one, all right? Mark chapter 5, all right? Verse 11. We're going to jump right into the middle here of this account. Mark chapter 5, verse 11. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and to the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ships, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. As I said, we kind of jumped into the middle of this account here in the Word of God. Our Lord had crossed over the Sea of Galilee and landed on the shore to be met by a demon-possessed man that we know and is often referred to as the maniac of Gadara. Brother Johnny Pope called him a new dude in a rude mood. I sort of like that, all right? Pretty good description, you know? And now the last day we were together, we saw that this possessed man, who was beyond the touch of man, but was within the reach of Jesus Christ, all right? Today I want us to look here and see some more great truths from this account. We're going to group it around four words, all right? Those four words are choked, changed, chased, and charged. Now here's the problem. Every one of those points merits a full message. I hope you're comfortable. Four sermons could be preached, all right? But I'm going to try to hurry. And as I've often said, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast and we'll get out fast, all right? But if you listen slow, I'll slow down. It'll be your fault you're late for lunch, okay? Be your fault. First of all, I want you to see the word choke. Notice verse 13, would you? Verse 13, the last part of that verse, talking about those swine that ran down in the sea. It says they were choked in the sea. Choked in the sea. Now, I want you to notice here. This was something that was a choice. These pigs were close by. Verse 11 says, now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine. Very close by, all right? We usually associate the idea of close as being convenient. If it's close, it's convenient. We'll oftentimes run down to a store that's convenient and rather than have to go fight the crowd at Walmart, we'll go down to Dollar General and pick something up, okay? It's close, it's convenient, and we like to think it that way. But I want you to see and understand this. Convenient is not always the best consideration for us, okay? It's not always the best thing. I believe that the devils thought there would be safety in those pigs, all right? They believed there would be safety in those pigs. They knew the Lord was about to drive him, throw them out of that demon-possessed man. And they made a choice. They chose the pigs, all right? Notice, they chose those pigs. Now, it tells us that in verse 12, all the devils besought him, begged the Lord, saying, hey, let us go into those pigs. Let us go into those pigs, all right? Now, I want to be honest with you. I do enjoy eating pork. Man, I love pork chops. I love pork steaks. I really love pork sausage, all right? I mean, I like that. I do enjoy it. But at the same time, I know this. I've got no illusions, and no illusions as to the fact that those pigs are not the cleanest beast in the world. You give a pig a chance, you give a hog a chance, he's going to head for a mud hole. Matter of fact, he don't have one, he'll make one. He'll make one, huh? We had some friends that were in our church when we were kids, my brother and I, in Florida, and he moved back to Georgia and he started raising hogs, and we visited him, and he had all of those hogs on, none of them were in mud. They were all on beds of concrete. He had concreted all of it in, and he washed those things out every day. It's the cleanest hog place I've ever been to, you know. But, hey, by and large, hogs are filthy beasts, okay? They're filthy beasts. It makes sense that the devils would seek such a destination. Made sense they would choose, hey, let's go into those nasty hogs, all right? Let's go into them. Nothing clean, nothing respectable about devils. Nothing. And by the way, don't get there and don't sit there and think they're not real. They're real. They're real, okay? They're still there, all right? But even the pigs could not stand close association with devils. Even the pigs said, hey, we got our standards, okay? There are some things we won't allow. And they would rather commit suicide. They'd rather run down that hill into that sea and die than be the place for those devils to reside. Now, I believe there's a message there for us, okay? I believe there is. I never really have understood how anybody who named the name of Christ, who was a child of God, would want to run with the filth of the devil and his crowd. How do you run with that bunch? How do you go there? How do you do it? How can you stand to be associated with that kind of filth? Look, there's a lot of filth in this world. How in the world could God's people? I'll be honest with you. I really don't even understand how the lost man can wallow in the filth and the wickedness that's involved in consorting and cavorting with the devil. I haven't understood it. I don't understand that, the whole drinking scene. Don't understand it. I've talked to too many people. Tell me their experience. Man, I got drunk and said, I went out the next morning and my car was a disaster area because my friends were in my car and we all got drunk and they did what drunk people often do. He said, my car was an absolute mess. Oh, so let's go do that again. Boy, that was great fun. Well, what did you do?
I can't remember.
And it took you 2 days to recover from the drunk, okay? Man, I woke up, my head was big. You know, I've heard all of that. I'll never forget when I was in high school. Yes, I can remember back that far, okay? I'll never forget when I was in high school, we were outside at PE one day, and there was one of the guys that was in my PE class, and I don't know what he took. But he was there, and of course, PE coaches being the great guys they were, we never saw them. They didn't come outside. And so this guy's out there under the influence of some kind of dope. I don't know what it was, but I watched him as his face turned white. He's standing there, and I'm thinking, you did that on purpose? You did that to yourself on purpose? Man, hey, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand that. I don't understand that wallowing in the filth, the off-scouring of this old world and what the devil brings to you. I want to tell you this. You keep fooling around with that, you'll eventually choke on it. You'll eventually choke on it. That's what happened to those pigs, all right? And they were choked in the sea, all right? You fool around with the devil, you fool around with this crowd long enough, and you'll choke on it too. There's a message there for us. First one, all right? But I want you to see the second word. This is one of the most exciting things is this fellow who had all those demons in him, they were sent into those swine. Those swine went down into the sea. They died. They were choked there. But this man who had been possessed, what a change. What a change had been wrought in him. Verse 15 says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. It was such a huge change. The Bible said they were afraid. What a change. Here's the guy that, you know, this is the guy running through the tombs. This is the guy that could not be bound. This is a guy that was howling and crying and cavorting, all right, and cutting himself. That's that guy. But now you see, what a change. What a change. He said, can I tell you something? Boy, that's what the Lord did for me when he saved me. That's what he did for me. What a change. I want you to see, first of all, he was calm. Calm. Here's the guy that's been running wild, but he's sitting. He's sitting. Man, there he is, calm. Boy, there's such a calm that comes over you when you get born again. There is just such a calm. That not crying, he's not howling anymore. I want to be honest, I can relate. You said you used to cry and howl. No, but I used to know what it was to not be calm. Used to know what it was to be worried and to be concerned. When I met the Lord, I'll tell you, he calmed this old boy. I got a peace that the Bible says is the peace that passeth understanding. That's what I got when I got saved. That's what was available to you, and it is available to you. You ought to have that. You ought to have it. The songwriter said, there's peace in the midst of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace though the world be raging in the shelter of his arms. There's peace. There's peace. You can be calm. Hey, the world's going nuts. The world's sweating it. I mean, not to be, you know, the Democrats have a cow every time President Trump does anything. I mean, you know, you would, I believe if he declared a holiday, they'd be breathing a hand and said, oh, the world's coming to an end. The world's coming to an end. You know, hey, look, get over it, okay? Well, you can be calm. I don't care what's going on in the world. Well, preacher, I mean, he's put those tariffs on everything. The price of everything's going to go sky high. Well, just keep the car you've got. Drive it a while longer, all right? I mean, just put up with it. Hey, we sweat those. What's going to happen to the price of gas? Heard him the other day talking about it may go down to $2 an hour, $2 a gallon. I thought, oh, no, I don't know if I can live with that. I mean, it's just everything you hear, boy. Hey, but this guy's calm. You've been saved. You ought to have that calmness. Peace. Peace. Going into surgery, peace, peace. It's going to be okay. Be okay. What if surgery is not successful? I'll really have peace. I'll be on the other shore. I'll be there with the Lord at peace. Here he was, this guy. You talk about changed. He was changed. He was calm. Then the Bible says he was clothed. He was clothed. Now, I don't want to stay here too long because I'll make a lot of you mad, all right? But I want to remind you, I didn't write the book, all right? I didn't write the book. God just called me to preach this book. I believe this, when an individual gets the devil out of him, the clothes will come on. All right? It'll just happen. We live in a day when nudity just reigns supreme. We try to figure out, as a lot of the world seems to try to figure out how much of the flesh they can expose. And I wanted to say without getting arrested, but today I'm not sure you need to worry about that, all right? Man, look, Satan has gained the upper hand in the world of fashion. And he's gained the upper hand in the hearts of men. And it seems to be the philosophy of the species that if you've got it, flaunt it. Well, some of you have got too much, quit flaunting it, all right? It would be your benefit if you'd cover it up. Hey, listen, clothe. Folks, I could preach here for a long time. What are you trying to attract? What are you trying to attract? I gotta stop and think. 44 years ago, 44 years ago, be 45 this next May, I got married. My wife got all of me. She's blessed. She now has more to love than she did then, all right? And I got all of her. But she's mine. I'm hers. She's not showing off for anybody else. She belongs to me. You can't imagine what a body there is lies under this cloth. And you're not going to see it either. Hey, clothes. Get the picture, cover it up. You men think, bless God, I've cultivated those three hairs on my chest and I want the world to see them. Well, just let us imagine it, okay? Hey, ladies, cover it up. What a The other night, I carried my wife to Walgreens, and there was a woman came out of Walgreens, and man, I go, good land. What a mess. You're not supposed to do that. It's wrong. This old boy got the devils out of him, and he was clothed. He was clothed. I'll keep going, all right? Second thing, or third thing, the Bible says he was conscious. He was in his right mind. In his right mind. I believe what I'm fixing to say with all my heart. Until you're born again, you are out of your mind. Let me prove it to you. Those of you who are here this morning and you are saved, you've been born again by the grace and power of the God of the universe. How many of you got saved the first time, the very first time you heard a clear presentation of the gospel and understood the fact that you were a sinner, you needed to be born again? How many of you got saved that very first time you heard it? Two people. Y'all the only two intelligent ones in the crowd. The rest of us are nuts. You said, preacher, what in the world do you mean by that? Do you understand the offer of salvation? Do you understand that is where the Lord says, look, I'll take your sins and I'll pay the price. I paid the price for your sin, and I'm going to give you a gift that money cannot buy. I'll give you the gift of eternal life. You'll never have to worry about death, dying, because I will give you eternal life. I'll give you a home in heaven for all eternity. What better deal could you have than that? And we said, no. I just want to tell you, I did. I was under conviction. I was just a kid. I was under conviction, and I knew how easy salvation was. I understood that. I understood the penalty of not being saved. I understood an eternity in hell. And by the way, that's exactly what we deserve. But he paid the sin debt price for us. He offers us of eternal life. And we heard that offer and we go, oh, let me think about it. I guarantee you, if you went down to the Cadillac shop or the Cadillac sales house or whatever vehicle you want, and they were standing there and you said, look, I want to buy a brand new pickup truck or a brand new Cadillac, and I'd like the best deal you can give me. And that fellow said, all right, give me a dollar bill cash and that vehicle can be yours. How many of you'd say, I need to think about it. As I'm not sure. Just not sure. You'd take it. You'd say, where's the piece of paper? Let me sign my name. The Lord offers you something better than that. You turned it down. Hey, I did too. I did too. Hey, he was in his right mind. Listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ gets control in your life, your thinking will be right too. Now, there's some of you here profess salvation, but your thinker's not right. The only thing I know to say is he must not be in control. Because when he's in control, you'll think right. Some of you keep doing the same dumb things. You keep getting hurt. You keep paying a price. You don't think right. You don't think right. Give him control. Give him control. If you'll do that, he'll change you completely. He'll change you completely. Oh, listen. Here we see it. Choked. Changed. And then I want you to look at that. Think with me about that third word, chaste. Now, this is the saddest, almost unbelievable part of what the Bible tells us. You look in verse 17. Word got out about what had happened. Man, it spread. It went everywhere. People that went into the city and said, you ain't going to believe what happened, boy. You remember the guys out there been crazy, dude? He been crazy out there wandering through the tomb, screaming, hollering around naked all the time. Man, that guy's sitting out your underclothes. He's in his right mind. You ain't going to believe it. And what happened? The devils cast out of him. This fellow named Jesus cast the devils out of him and into the swine, and they were drowned. Then we get to verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. This crowd heard the story from eyewitnesses. When they knew what had happened, their desire was to chase away the one who had made the difference. Let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of him. You know what? Hey, we'd rather have the pigs than the potentate. We'd just rather have the pigs than the potentate. I mean, you got to understand, all right? Now, I'll be honest with you. We live in a day like that because there's a great desire to push God out of society. That reveals the depth of the evil that exists in this world that we live in. We want to push God out. We want to push him aside. Get rid of him. Chase him away, all right? Chase him away. Somebody's telling the truth. Shoot him. Shoot him. He's telling the truth. Let's get rid of that guy. Let's get rid of him. That's what they did. Want to chase him out. Hey, they were more concerned with their wealth than they were the welfare of their people. Their wealth. They thought more of hogs than they did humans. Sounds a lot like environmentalists of our day. Hey, let me say this to you. God help us to keep our priorities right. Keep our priorities right. The Lord can make all the difference for you. We need the presence and the power of God more than we need all that the world has to offer. We need God's presence. We need God's power more than we need all of our bank accounts running over with money. We need God a lot more. We need his presence. We need his miracle working power. Because you're going to find yourself sometimes in some situations in this life when every dime you can scrape up won't buy you one thing for what you need. I could talk to you. I could talk to you about my brother in a car wreck back in the early 70s, or late 60s. It was 1969, thrown out of the car, covered up on the road for dead. And finally, as policemen saw his toe move, and they carried him in ambulance to the hospital. He lay unconscious for a couple of weeks in the hospital. I could talk to you about him. I could talk to you about Nathan DeHoyes in a terrible car wreck and went into a coma. He was in the hospital for months. He said, what made the difference? God's people prayed. The doctors admitted that when my brother was in the hospital, after that experience, our family doctor told my dad, he said, preach, I'm going to tell you, up until now, I never thought much about prayer. But he realized that's the only thing saved his life. He said, what'd they do for him? Nothing. They put him on a chill-down blanket to lower his body temperature to hopefully reduce the swelling in his brain. Didn't help. That's why he's retarded like he is now, all right? But he lived, okay? But he lived. Hey, only God. Only God. I went in that intensive care ward where Nathan was. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Nathan DeHoyes, and he was laying there in that bed. He was unconscious. The nurse was working around him. And I asked that nurse, Nathan's head, honest, was swelled. It was round. Seriously, I don't mean almost. I mean it was round. It was swelled. Terrible swelling. I asked that nurse, I said, You've worked in this. I said, I'm going to ask you, what would you say about him? What can we expect? She said this, if he lives, you'll never know the Nathan you used to know. wrong. She was wrong. You say, why? Because people pray. And I was in the waiting room many times, and friends of his from school gathered together, and they knelt and prayed. As a church, we prayed. And we sent the word out. People were praying all over the world. You see, God can do what nobody else can do. He could do for that maniac what nobody else can do. And the reaction was, people was, let's get rid of him. Let's chase that man out of here. Good lands. He's messing us up, you know. What the world and the God of this world offer you will never satisfy. Never satisfy. But what God extends to you and I will forevermore satisfy. Forevermore. Hey, choked, changed, chaste. Then I want you to notice the last part. Look at verse 19. Howbeit Jesus, all right, maybe verse 18. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. I can just see it. Jesus, hey, they didn't want him. They didn't want him, so he said, okay, I'll leave. He's getting on the ship. I can see that old former maniac right behind him. Getting on the ship, and the Lord turned around and said, where are you going? He said, they don't want you. They don't want me either. They don't want you. They don't want me either. I'm going with you. I want to be with you. But the Lord charged him. Look at verse 19. Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Hey, he got a commission. It was time for this fella to move. It was time for this man who had been changed. It was time for him to serve God. God doesn't move in the life of any person today and then say to you, stay and keep your mouth shut. He doesn't say that. Now, a lot of people that profess Christ seem to think that's what he's told them. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. Oh, yeah, but you go to some stupid ball game, paint your face two different colors, pay a ridiculous amount of money for a foam hand that you can wave up and down and act the fool during the whole game. But I don't want you to think I'm a fanatic about God. Hey, we're to go into all the world. We've been charged. This fellow was told, hey, you go home. You go home. I love what the Bible says. You go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. You say, preacher, I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know how to win anybody to the Lord. I don't know what to say. You go tell them what great things he did for you. Well, preacher, he didn't do anything. You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. He died for you. He died for you. He went to that cross for you. And you say, I don't know what he's done. He paid your sin debt. That's what he did. He paid your sin debt. And he came up with it, the only one who could do it. And then he turned around and he offered to you eternal life as a free gift. What do I have to do to get it? Accept it. It's all you've got to do. You don't have to do any work. You don't have to do any alms. You don't have to do penance. You just need to accept the gift of salvation. He paid for it and he gives you that. I'm going to tell you something. I could stand here today and shout for a while about what he's done for me. He saved my soul when I trusted in him. Man, he wiped out the account on my name. If you were to go there and ask him, I want to see what's in his life and the sins, there's nothing there. The book's clean, buddy. Nothing there. There's nothing for the devil to accuse me of. You're saved this morning. You've been You've trusted Christ. As we say, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing on your record before God. When He sees you, He sees the righteousness of His Son. That's what He did for you. He forgave my sin. He wiped my slate clean. There's nothing there anymore, all right? He's promised to never leave me. Never leave me. You know, I got former friends. You got any like that? Former friends. But the Lord's not one of them. He promised never to leave me. Hey, I'd like to be able to stand here and tell you that since I got saved, I've lived a perfect life. That's not true. That's not true. Brother Ben is teaching Sunday school, and he's talking about having to tell his kids over and over again to put their stuff away and put their stuff away and put their stuff away. I started to speak up and say, just beat them. But man, I can't begin to tell you how many times God, I've messed up since I got saved. But He never turned His back on me and walked off. He never left me. When I've stumbled and even fallen, He's reached down and picked me up. And He reached down His hand for me. He promised me He'd never leave me, and He's never left me. Never left me. Hey, you know what? He's promised me a new body and a new home. I'm getting closer to moving into both of them. Yeah, new body, a new home. I'm wearing this one out. I was at the heart doctor the other day, this past week, because my wife told me she wanted me to go. Doctor, and I went to see him, and he said, why are you here? I said, because my wife told me. She wanted me to come, and he said, well, guys your age, I see a lot of them have the same story. Their wife sent them, all right? I'm just trying to keep her happy, man. So he's, you know, he wants to, you know, they love to run them the stress test on you. He said, you know, could you walk on a treadmill? I said, yeah, until he turned it on. I'd step right up on that thing. I said, man, my knees won't allow me to do that. Hey, but there's a new body coming. He said, preacher, that's just a promise. Well, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. See, here's what I found out. I found out there's a ton of promises in this book right here. And every one I've tried out, He's done exactly what He said He'd do. Every time He did exactly. I can stand here and tell you the great things the Lord has done. He's promised He's coming back for me. Coming back for me. Now, I'm hoping it's going to be when He comes to get all of us. All of us. All of them. But if it's just me, that's okay. That's okay. God, the Lord told him, you go home to your friends and you tell them the great things the Lord had done. You tell them about the compassion that He showed for you. Listen, I did nothing deserve anything God did for me. Nothing. Don't deserve anything He's ever done, all right? And neither have you. It's because of His compassion. It's the love of our God for the sinner that this world needs to hear about. It's that that we need to tell. That's what we need to tell. Hey, the Lord will choke the devil for you if you'll give Him a chance. He'll do that. He will change your life if you'll come to Him. You'll let Him take control. He'll change every bit of it for you, all right? But whatever you do, don't chase Him away. Welcome. Welcome Him into your life. And remember this. We've been commissioned by Him to do something for Him. How you doing with that? How you doing with that? I ask you this morning. What do you need? What do you need from this account? Do you need to be changed? Are you here this morning? Never trusted Christ. Never trusted the Savior. Is that you? Truth of the matter is, if you were to die right now, and you were to drop dead right in that pew, you'd split hell wide open. Why don't you come to him today? In just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. I'll be honest with you, you can come right now if you need to get saved. You can come. But if you want to wait, we're going to stand in just a moment and invite folks to come. And if you understand the fact that you're lost, you're destined for a place called hell, but you understand Jesus Christ died to save you, and he'll save you. You'll just call unto him. You'll come to him and ask him to save your soul. If you don't do that, you're nuts. Just like I was when I took so long to get saved. Hey, he'll change you. Is that what you need to be changed? Hey, do you need the devil out of your life? Do you need the devil out of your life? I don't mean necessarily you're possessed by the devil. But the devil holds too much sway in your life. Why don't you come today? Why don't you come today and confess it and ask for his help? Don't chase him away. Let him do. Don't do that. Hey, you've been saved. He's commissioned you. He's called you. He's charged you. Go and tell somebody. What do you need? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. We wait before God just a moment. Look, don't sit here this morning and hear the message and let God speak to you and then walk out the same way you came. Let him work in your life. Let him change you. Let him make that difference. Hey, if you need to cover it up, then cover it up. If you need to get right with him, get right with him. If you need the devil out of your life, then come and ask God to get that devil out of your life. You start living like what you claim you have. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. Help folks to come. There's a need.